Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
Social media has exploded in its importance during the COVID-19 pandemic. More and more people are turning to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to stay informed in a world where we are drowning in the overwhelming flood of information. For some, social media can be a distraction from the anxiety and fear we are experiencing. For others, it is a pathway to helping those in need. A group of concerned Northumberland County residents are offering an alternative on social media. They are calling it a virtual neighborhood. The page is called Caremongering Northumberland. It is part of a larger movement in Canada that has received the attention of people around the world. BBC has featured the Canadian founders as part of their coverage. To find out more about what is going on in Northumberland, I have three of the members of the founding group locally, Raymond Jones, Lindsay Nicole, and Nicole Beattie. Welcome to Consider This, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone who's listening.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having us.
So glad to have you on the show. Now, the name Caremongering, what an unusual name. Can you tell us its significance?
Yeah, I don't mind jumping in and speaking to this, Rob. I mean, the significance is that it really, rather than in a time of crisis and uncertainty, there being a lot of fear, which certainly is a force to be reckoned with. And then fear mongering, it's a play on that word, that when we jump in with care and kindness and love and compassion, that we just believe that that actually is a more powerful sort of force in the world of good. And so caremongering really speaks to that and connects us with the other community groups sort of nationally that have emerged that are creating these spaces of goodwill and support.
Lindsay, what does it mean to you? What's its significance to you?
My partner and I had started our own group. I hadn't heard of the caremongering movement. And then it was passed on to me that it was brought into my awareness. And I looked into it and realized that it was doing the exact same thing that our group intended to, which is just providing mutual aid, just bringing our communities together in order to cooperate and help one another. And that's largely what it means for me, bringing people together, uniting, and helping each other in whatever capacities we're able to. And if we're not, then that's okay too. There are people, you know, both volunteers and people who are in need. And that's the idea, connecting people. And the same thing with Ray. Once I had thought about it, fear mongering is very real, pervasive, really harmful. And this is intended to counteract that, which is vital right now.
Nicole, how about you?
Yeah, I came across it, I think like all of us, we were mobilizing our own efforts. And then, you know, seeing things growing organically in Northumberland. So that's when I reached out to Ray and Lynn's respectfully, and we're here today. Naturally, I think given my role and other work in the community, to me it means community connections. It means facilitating a network of goodwill and the intentions and the acts of kindness that are arising in this time. My lens through all of this is the humanity in it, right? Ensuring that not only neighbor to neighbor, but my role in this is really to ensure that those that are willing and able to help while respecting and practicing social distancing are able to also connect with our community and social causes that more than ever are going to need the support of this community in order to take care of those that can't take care of themselves right now.
And when you mentioned the things that you're involved in, I know that you work with a lot of charities and social movement groups within the community, but you're also a counselor as well on town council. So all those roles sort of coming together in this one effort. Is that right?
Absolutely. And obviously, you can't separate yourself from a counselor role. I don't believe there's any politics in a time of pandemic, but for the listeners, just making it very clear that my involvement in this is completely citizen driven. And there's no intersection from the council perspective.
So Ray, going back to you, where did you come up with this concept?
It was inspired by the different groups that started in Toronto and London. And also a friend of mine in Windsor, Essex community started the caremongering group there. And as I was considering what it would look like to respond rather than react, what did an appropriate response look like to be able to mobilize? Inspired by other groups in the area and just wanting to really leverage the goodwill of neighbors in connecting and being able to resource one another in different ways.
What are the roles each of you play? Do each of you have a designation in organizing this? Let's start with Lindsay. What's your role in this project?
Well, I haven't been given, I haven't been assigned a specific role per se, but I've kind of, I guess, taken on a role of a volunteer coordinator, I guess, if I had to classify it. Mm-hmm. We have an intake form and I've been compiling a list of volunteers who are ready to provide help in different capacities, from delivering groceries to, there's a number of things. Right now I'm on the spot, so I can't remember, but it's all there on the online form. So I would say I'm a volunteer coordinator at this point.
Nice. Nicole, how about you?
I'm definitely, I think that my role in this and the value I bring is a bit of helping to navigate our county system in terms of where different supports intersect. I also think that what I'm really trying to do is to connect the need of the charities and the nonprofits who are, through their contingency planning during COVID, how they're adjusting to respond to the most vulnerable and also those whose lives are changing, and as a way to kind of facilitate that into the group. A great example is, NHH, being overwhelmed by requests and acts of kindness. And so what we're trying to do with the group is, sharing that coordinated message from the cause, in this case NHH, so that we can organize, the nearly 2,000 citizens that we have, so that support doesn't become fragmented and we're able to direct the greatest need with people, again, while practicing social distance and most importantly, achieving that the greatest collective impact for the beneficiary.
And Ray, what role are you playing?
Yeah, I think the role that I'm playing predominantly, working with Linz and Nicole and helping to sort of coordinate the effort together has been a huge part.
All right. So why is it significant that this is a grassroots movement based on citizen involvement rather than something more official, say through a local charity or an institution? Who'd like to answer that?
I can answer that if the group doesn't mind.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Sure. I think, Rob, at this time, a more formal organization, I think, would a few things slow the process of immediate connecting neighbor to neighbor. I also think that, as you know, Rob, in the work that you do and the conversations you have on a daily basis, there's already a plethora of organized charitable movements. And I think right now, what I was seeing, and again, why I connected with Ray and Linz is, as the pandemic endures, the demand on our social services are going to happen more than ever. So there's already the experts coordinating that official response. And what caremongering and For Northumberland provides is a way to connect this citizen movement. And I think Ray spoke to it earlier about his passion for starting this. In a time like this, there's something really beautiful and reassuring and safe about that grassroots citizen to citizen. And to be quite honest, something more formal, I think, would be more taxing. Things change every day. And I think there's just something really beautiful in seeing Northumberland residents come together and then being connected to that official system that is has been in place for eons, and then being able to build capacity in that way.
Okay, so how can somebody explain to me how this all works? I mean, when you look at your Facebook page, it does not look like a regular Facebook page. You see there's a number of units. So if I'm interested, can you explain what we're looking at and how do I access the information? Who'd like to tell me about that?
it's getting a little bit out of control. I think one of the things that when we started the group, Rob, we didn't expect it to grow, or at least I didn't expect it to grow as quickly as it has. And so it's certainly become quickly a resource that people are engaging with and commenting and talking. We, of course, are trying to keep it positive and hope-filled rather than going in negative ways, although it has grown quite quickly. If you join the group, there are units. We're encouraging people to put hashtags such as hope or shout-outs or news or resources. Continued education is one. We're also trying to be a resource for local business. So support local is another unit so that people can go there, find the resources that they need, get the support that they're looking for. At the same time, just find a community of people that are in the midst of a difficult time, showing concern and compassion to one another.
Okay, so how many people beyond the three of you are involved in this at the moment?
Well, we're kind of the, you know, the co-captains, if you will. Ray has a support network of incredible, talented people who are supporting, you know, they're the unsung heroes kind of behind the social media.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just as the group grew, of course, you start to lean on different gifts and abilities that people have. And so we have, you know, Trish Baxter, Helen Williams, Janice Buck, those are three admins who are on the page who are helping to coordinate everything from graphic design to helping to organize the page to just helping the quality control of the page as Linz and Nicole and I sort of grapple with how best to leverage the caremongering site to serve our community at large.
Ray, if I may, can you maybe speak to one of the, I think it's important for listeners to know that one of the team members is actually in healthcare, so that we are able to kind of show that we are, you know, we have someone behind the scenes who, you know, is able to validate, you know, validate that health info coming out.
Yeah. Dennis Buck is a local Coburg resident. She's been she's a retired nurse currently, but was a nurse for over 50 years, and is just a sort of a very familiar face in our community, and has agreed to just be a resource to us because a lot of information. One of the things with the caremongering site is that we really wanted the information that is coming. Is posted in that group to be factual and to be sourced material, and especially in a time when there's a lot of stuff circulating around what COVID-19 is and what you should do. Janice worked with the SARS outbreak and just lends a lot of not just credibility, but just being a voice of fact and help in this time.
Since you've raised it, this is something I wanted to talk about, is that, you know, social media is a two-edged sword when it comes to quality and the veracity of information. So obviously, on the health side, you're making sure that the information on the page is correct and not erroneous, but on a broader scale, how are you making sure that the page is correct or that there isn't misinformation or rumors being posted? Are you removing any questionable posts? Are you verifying any other information other than the health information?
I can speak to it from the local level. There, for example, when there is maybe a request for need or donations or ways to support or accessing service, I'm making sure that the appropriate, that that's fact-checked with the appropriate agency. And then that agency, to the best of our ability in tracking the multiple threads, that those agencies are tagged and recognized. But many of our agencies are now members of the group. And so they are able to self-direct and kind of, I don't mean self-promote, but share their own core messages.
Okay. I know though that there are sections where everyday people are posting things. And I know, Ray, you mentioned earlier that you're encouraging people to give messages of hope and of positivity. But what about if, say, for example, has there been any cases where somebody sort of got on and taken it in a tone or given information that has sort of raised eyebrows? How are you handling that kind of thing? Nicole, do you want to answer that? Or go ahead, Ray, that's perfect.
Yeah, just to jump in there, is to say, I mean, the answer is yes. When you have a group where it's two-way, you're going to have, you're inviting people's thoughts and comments, and you're going to have the negative. So we have had to, we have removed some posts. We have jumped in and had to monitor that. And at the same time, we have missed some stuff. And so we're doing our best with the, you know, with the resources and the capacity that we have to keep the conversation as positive as possible. We're asking our group members to also do the same. One gal last week, there was a conversation going south, and she jumped in and just sort of turned the tide of the conversation, and it was a win. And so I just I private messaged her and I said, thank you for doing that. That's holding within the spirit of what this group is. And of course, we can't police every conversation, and we're just really encouraging people to hold spirit of the group in how they interact with posts and material and one another. I think, Rob, one of the things we got to recognize is that we're all trying to work this out. I'm just saying, none of us have been here before in this place of where social distancing is now the norm, and we're in a place where a pandemic. So there's got to be some grace that's extended, and we're trying to work that out in as positive a way as we can.
How many people have joined the group? I mean, it seems like the number goes up exponentially every day. How many have you got so far?
I think Linz or Nicole, this morning I looked at, we were around 19, we were getting close to 1900.
Yeah, it is going up exponentially, because when I checked yesterday, it was 1.7. Yeah, it really is. We're getting a couple hundred new members a day at least. So yeah, it's pretty wild how quickly it's growing, spreading.
Okay, in your press release, you reference a group called Local Mutual Aid Network that was also set up. Lindsay, you spoke a little bit about this earlier. What is it, and what is its relationship to the caremongering efforts?
It was started, my partner and I, a day after or 2 days after the caremongering group had started up. We had done a cursory search, but hadn't, I didn't know about the term caremongering. I didn't realize the group existed, but mutual aid. I already spoke about what that entails to me without going into any political ideology. But yeah, it was just connecting citizens and providing mutual aid. And there was really no point in keeping a separate group when I realized our aims were exactly the same. It would just be dividing the community instead of bringing it together. So, it was pretty easy, unanimous decision to merge.
Why did you choose social media as the platform to do this work? I mean, there are other approaches. You could have made a website, a telephone hotline. You could add an email newsletter. Why social media as the platform?
I can speak to that just from my perspective. And then Ray, because I appreciate Ray really took the lead with, there is a website, Rob, it's called fornorthumberland.com. I'll let Ray speak to that. But I think in terms of, we're in an era of social media. However, we do acknowledge that in order to access caremongering, you'd have to be a social media user, and particularly Facebook. So we are, we've been doing some offline work and looking at how to best put all the information, because at a minimum, most people go to websites, because we don't want that to be a barrier for being part of the community and especially accessing information and requests for support. With respect to the hotline, one of the reasons, I think that would be a little bit beyond our capacity as volunteers, but also being aware that a few other hotlines are currently underway that I think the community will start seeing in a few days. But then it also too, we're also trying to support the existing hotlines in place. So for example, we have 24-hour crisis lines in the community. 211, which is funded by the United Way, which is where we're referring people for social service and financial assistance. So again, we didn't want to duplicate services. We wanted to be building a network of support around the existing system. But I'll pause there because, Ray, I'm sorry, I think I jumped in.
No, that's great. I think what you've said is great, Nicole. And just maybe to add to that is to say that social media, Facebook is where people are. And so when you're looking to connect neighbor to neighbor and people in responsive ways to needs, it's leveraging what people are already using. And it's a place that we're comfortable in. But it's where people are, it's where people are engaging. And so we just wanted to leverage what is already being used. And of course, the website is set up for Northumberland just as a way to say we're for people. And if you don't have Facebook, there's a way you can still get the resources and support you need.
For those who may not have access to the internet or use social media, are there any plans in line to reach out to those people?
Yeah, if I can speak to that if the group doesn't mind.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Sure. I think what, again, and I'm sorry, it hasn't been published yet, so I'm mindful not to speak too much to it, but I am aware that, at both levels of community, county, and municipal, various official systems are coming together to do phone lines, hotlines, and then people like you, Rob, are starting to pick up these conversations, and we're starting to hear them on the radio, which is really great. So I think by the beginning of next week, those that don't necessarily live in an online world will have direct access to a one source phone number, and then from there you're connected accordingly. And then we also recognize that there are people in our community that don't have access to internet. They don't have access to the phone and such like that. And I know that those neighbors in our community are currently being supported through the emergency shelter system that was launched last Friday between Transition House, the school board, MPP David Piccini's initiative. I think I said Transition House, Greenwood Coalition, and Salvation Army, and that network of support. So I think I do agree. I think there needs to start being a central portal for everyone to go instead of being deferred in different directions. But I'm proud to say that at whatever level of support you need, it's there. But Rob, you do raise an important question. Now, how do we start communicating what medium and where do people need to go?
Just very quickly as we wrap up, can each of you tell me a little story about what is the most memorable thing for you that has come out of this fledgling project? Can we start with Lindsay?
Yes, sorry. I was very excited about this. There was a woman whose gas furnace had started malfunctioning, and she, precarious financial circumstances, reached out in the odd chance that we could connect her with someone with credentials. And I made a call out to the group, and not expecting much, to be honest. Sorry to report. But later that very night, someone who owns a local heating company in Port Hope reached out, and he actually went over and fixed her furnace just free of charge, just like that. And she was so grateful. And that's definitely, for me, the most memorable thus far.
That's wonderful. Nicole, how about you?
Yeah, I think how expedited of these neighborly acts of kindness are happening. And to be honest, and not to get mushy, but so far my favorite part of this experience has been three strangers coming together to help a community of strangers. I did not know Ray or Lynn's a week ago, and I reached out to them, called them randomly, and I now talk to them more than anybody every day. And in addition to that, I don't have children. So the one thing I'm thoroughly enjoying watching on this group is how creative parents are being in entertaining and educating their kids while at home. And to be honest, I've actually learned a few tips myself. So it's just really, it's been really neat to see how forthcoming and how quickly it's an example again about how, you know, we can still stand side by side while being apart.
Ray, how about you?
Yeah, I would just echo what Nicole shared there, is that a highlight too is working with Lynn's and Nicole. It has been phenomenal and a great opportunity. They become fast friends and just appreciate their passion and heart. One thing that really just stands out is one gal who jumped on the group early on said that thanks to this group, I went and I checked on my neighbors. It reminded me to check in. And she went and just made sure that they were doing okay. And it was a good reminder, these small things that make all the difference of us connecting with one another and being for each other in the small and the larger ways. But small things make a big difference.
Listen, I want to thank the three of you for doing this interview this morning. And I really appreciate very much the efforts you're making on behalf of our community. So thank you each. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Ray. And thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Rob, for having us.
Yes, thank you, Rob,
for continuing to tell the stories. It's very important in this time.
That was Raymond Jones, Lindsay Nicole, and Nicole Beattie, the team leaders for Caremongering for Northumberland. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.